coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Good Monday morning. You know what I'm loving?
What are you loving?
A little bit more light earlier in the day for us early morning folks.
So and good. At night.
And the longer days.
Yes, yes.
I love the time of year when you start to get, it feels like more of the day.
It's so good. Oh, it makes me feel so
definitely
good.
One of those people who when it gets dark, I feel like I should be inside.
Absolutely.
And when it's bright outside, I want to be out. But in the middle of, you know, December, when it's like 4:45 and it's dark, it's like, well, I guess we're in for the night.
We're done.
True. It's fun for like one day. And then you go, okay, it needs to be sunnier for way longer than this because it's dark in the morning still and it's dark way earlier in the day. Not
exactly.
Fair.
Exactly. Exactly. Got a question for you this morning. What do you feel like is the thing that most keeps you distracted or most gets you distracted? And not just in the moment, oh, squirrel. I was thinking about this. Now I got to. But distracted from the things of God. What is the thing in your life that is most likely to distract you from the things of God? What category does it fall in? Is it maybe entertainment, TV, internet, scrolling, movies? Is it something else? What is it that's most likely to keep you distracted from the things of God? I'll take texts and I'm going to open phone lines on this one as well. If you've got an answer or story you want to share, 312-274-9624. Text is okay too, 312-274-9624. Young Thunder, what comes to mind for you? What's most likely to keep you distracted from the things of God?
Yeah, it unfortunately came to me pretty quickly. I think sports is what keeps me most distracted from the things of God. I mean, these things aren't bad in and of themselves, but they can become a little bit too important too quickly. And so having good boundaries around these things is really important for me.
Yep.
Because otherwise, if it's just unregulated, then it's sports all the time. And actually, I was just praying for it this morning. I was like, God, can you give me a little bit more discipline that I can focus on you more instead of football as much as I'm focusing on football?
I love that. You know, you actually gave me a language for what I was trying to describe, and I think you hit it. You said it becomes too important too quickly. That's what I'm going for. What is that thing for you? It's more than just distractions. It's what is that thing that becomes too important too quickly to you? That you know it doesn't like really matter, but it becomes too important too quickly in your life. Distracts you from the things of God. That's what we're going for. What is it for you? 312-274-9624. Super Di is going to give it some thought. I've already given it some thought, which is why I'm asking you this question this morning.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
I think all of life, much of life, is a constant fight to not make the wrong things too important to you. To not allow things that don't matter eternally become very significant in your life right now. And this is a constant battle. I struggle with this all the time. And you know in your mind, this doesn't matter. This, I can be looking for an item and that I want to buy. Let's say I'm looking in the market for a new vacuum cleaner. I can be so consumed by reading reviews. Testing if I can go and look at them, ask polling my friends, and all of a sudden, this simple purchase of a vacuum, which is necessary, can become all I'm thinking about. And I'm in my dreams, vacuum cleaners are popping up because I have become fixated because what seems so important, and of course, I know a vacuum cleaner isn't important, but man, the cares of life can sometimes weigh us down. They can become too important. Too
Absolutely.
Quickly.
And it's not, it's the high ridge thing.
It's the high ridge.
It's not that it's not okay to look up reviews for a vacuum cleaner that you might want to buy.
Nope.
It's good to be
it's
you
totally
know,
fine to do that.
An informed purchaser. But to spend days, hours, when there are probably other things that need to be done and are getting neglected because I'm so focused on this and it seems way too life or death to me right now, you know, that's when, okay, maybe we're on that wrong side of the high ridge where this is becoming too important and I need to be focusing on some other things right now.
It could be a hobby. It could be your kids. It could be any number of things that become too important too quickly to you. Super Die, what comes to mind first when I ask this question?
Actually, you just said it. When you asked the question, the immediate thing in my brain was my kid, my son. Mm-hmm. Just everything of the to-do list. And that's kind of the close second. I can fixate on there is so much I have to do in one day, or be here, or be there, or have him here, have him there. I get so overwhelmed and fixated on that that I'm like, hello, I missed the moment.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to say, that you're making your kid too important.
Too important. But we can do it in a heartbeat. So coming up, I want to tell you, I was traveling this weekend, went out to Virginia for a big girls basketball tournament.
Oh, fun.
And I was sitting in my rental car, a Jeep Compass, which was not a great rental car for me, but that's a whole other story.
That's a whole show.
I need to know why.
Very, very quirky.
Oh no!
But that's how it is. You know, you drive around the car, you got to figure out the quirks. Yeah. But I'm sitting in this Jeep Compass in this big parking lot. They had put me at the end because it was so many hundreds, even thousands of people coming through this tournament.
Wow.
And I was meditating on this verse that I knew I needed to keep in front of me all weekend, lest I be tempted to go into that gym and let what happened on those 94 feet, the length of that's an NBA court. I don't know what a high school girls basketball is, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Let what happens on that court, let how my kid performed, let how her team does become too important too quickly. So I sat there in my car. I read this verse that I'm going to share with you coming up, and I prepared my mind so that I could be a good sports parent and not let sports become too important too quickly. Uh-huh. I'll share the verse with you coming up.
Find us on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
So this girls' basketball tournament out in Hampton, Virginia, it is one of the biggest. There are, oh boy, hundreds upon hundreds of teams, thousands of players, thousands of sports parents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there are these rankings, you know, they if you're not in this world, it probably seems crazy, and maybe it is, but they rank girls by class. So for the class of 2025, which are high school juniors, everybody in that gym knows who the number one player is in the class of 2025.
Ah, okay, so it's kind of like draft rankings. But for high school,
everybody knows. And she was there, and she's getting asked for pictures.
Wow.
She's like 17 years old.
Right, she's a kid.
Oh, man.
But that's the environment. There are rankings. There are many, many college coaches there. There's sidelines full of coaches in T-shirts with their school, Arizona and Duke. And all of the top schools are there. And they're all lined the sidelines, and everybody's there hoping, I hope that coach sees my kid because I want my kid to go D1.
Mm.
Oh,
of course.
That can get really ugly.
Division 1 scholarship. And I say it, and I'm in that world, okay? So I'm not saying it like that there's any problem with all of
sure.
this.
Sure, yeah.
But here's the problem that because I got to deal with my own heart. I can tell you that none of that, I mean, come on. I'm in Christ. I know that stuff doesn't matter. I could tell you that that's how I feel, but I got to be honest with myself. There is a temptation to allow how this weekend goes to matter too much to me, to become too important too quickly.
Well, of course. Yes. And there's justification. Like, you know, we can justify it in our minds. You're like, well, I want my daughter to be taken care of. I want her to get a good education, to go to a good school, to play well.
You know, but
all
you know
things.
What? All of those things would be not wholly true for me and not wholly true for anyone else.
Absolutely. I would agree.
Because the reality is, and I'm not going to go too far down this sports parent thing because you got other things to do today. This is about glory.
Yeah.
It's about glory. It's not even so much about, I need a way to provide my kid a way to go to school, because you know how much money was spent on this weekend just to get there? I mean,
fair. Do I want to ask? No.
You know how much money people are spending to get their kids a scholarship?
Oh, yeah.
Probably more
yeah.
than the college education yeah. cost, but I digress. So knowing that that's the environment that I'm walking into, I had been reading in the book of Luke, and there was a passage that just stuck with me, and it might seem really odd, but I'm going to share it with you anyway, because it was so helpful to keep referring back to. So this was out of Luke 21. And the context here was Jesus speaking about the coming of the Son of Man and the signs that will precede it. There's going to be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. There's going to be distress of the nations. All of these things, you can look, just like you can look at a fig tree and see that summer is near. There are signs of the times, so to speak, that you'll be able to look to and see it's coming. He's coming back. Verse 34, this is Luke 21:34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This may sound like an extreme to go to a passage like this, but whether it's high school girls travel basketball, whether it's a hobby, whether it's the Netflix series that you're binge watching, whether it is your compulsive need to make sure that your yard is perfect because spring is coming and the neighbors across the street have a great looking yard. There are so many cares of this life that can weigh you down. So the problem is not the girls' basketball, the need to take care of your lawn, the hobby that you enjoy on the weekends. It's when your heart becomes weighed down by them. And then all of a sudden, you're not thinking about the return of Christ. You're not thinking about standing before him. You're not thinking about eternal things. You're not thinking about the nearness of the kingdom of God because you're weighed down and distracted by the cares of this life. And that's wherein lies the challenge for each of us as Christians, to be in this world, to have to do things like take our kids places and take care of our lawn, but to do those things without becoming consumed and distracted. I want to read a quote to you coming up that really, I think, captures the essence of what this is and what I want you to take away. I'm not telling you not to care about that stuff. But man, it can become too important too quickly. We have to be on guard against that.
Everything you need to start your day right. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
So what is it that gets you weighed down and distracted? The cares of this life, the worries of this life. It could be good stuff. It could be the stuff that you got going on the weekends. It could be the stuff that you've got going on with your kids. It could be the worries of this life on the flip side. The bills that feel like they're piling up. The marriage that feels like it's struggling. And the things that can consume our thoughts. You know, I was reading this passage out of Luke 21, starting with verse 34. I'm going to read it in a slightly different translation because I think it's a little bit easier to take in just listening. Verse 34, it says, "Watch out, don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man." Now, you could easily catch that, "don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness," and think, okay, I mean, that's really true. We definitely shouldn't be drunk and wasting our life away drinking alcohol.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, flat out good advice. Sure.
And for some people, that's where you land today. And maybe alcohol, drunkenness, carousing, kind of the partying, that sort of pleasures of this life, maybe that's where you're at and that's your struggle. But my guess is for a lot of people, it's that next part. It's the worries of this life. It's the cares of this life that can easily keep you distracted. The things that keep your mind occupied, the things that you that your heart is attached to, that you've attached meaning and joy and purpose. If I could just get that promotion. It could be your work life that has you weighed down, distracted. Here's a quote I want to read to you that I think captures this pretty well. It says, "What our danger is, that the day of death and judgment should come upon us unawares when we do not expect it and are not prepared for it. Lest when we are called to meet our Lord, that be found the furthest thing from our thoughts, which ought always to be laid nearest our hearts." The furthest thing from our hearts, which ought always to be laid nearest our hearts. Sorry, the furthest thing from our mind or our thoughts, which is should be the nearest thing to our heart. And it's good to think about the day of death and judgment, not in a morbid sort of way, but in a very sober-minded, keep me focused on the right things kind of way. Coming up, I'm going to share something else that kept this front of mind for me over the last week.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
So what we wrestle with is how do we live with the right things most important to us while the things of life do require our attention? Kids have to be driven around, and maybe you don't have kids in the home anymore, but you've got bills that have to be paid and job that has to be done. And maybe you do volunteer work and all these things that fill up your calendar. How do you do those things while not attaching your heart to them? Mm. You know, a person near to our family passed suddenly recently. It was my sister's best friend. Very young, very vibrant, very healthy, and just was gone in totally suddenly, totally unexpectedly, left behind four little children. And my heart broke in so many ways. She was 2 months younger than me. And in so many ways, her life paralleled mine. You know, she was my sister's best friend, but kind of by association, I felt very close to her.
Sure.
And so it was only a week, and you think, that day can come upon us at any time. And maybe you're older, and so maybe you think about it more, the day where you will meet the Lord. Maybe you're in the prime of life and you don't think about it at all. We have to think about eternity, mm-hmm. because our life, even when we get, my grandmother lived to be 101. My great grandmother lived to be 92. Like, genetically, I've been able to see people in my life live long.
Yeah.
But even then, even 101 years is.
Yeah, I would say if you could ask them, I bet they would probably say it went way faster than they would have expected.
And, you know, I was thinking about my sister's friend, and I'm thinking, you know, the things that feel like they matter so much today, they don't. They don't. The to-do list, I look at my calendar, the things that I got to do stuff today. But the challenge for you and for me is to live in the posture where we're the things that are nearest to our heart stay fixed. Let me read that verse to you one more time, because this has been on my mind and I've been rereading it. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. So this is me sober-minded, just reminding you of the truth that life is really short and that it's so easy to be weighed down by the cares and worries of this life. But don't let your heart get dull. Don't let the thing that's nearest to your heart be furthest from your mind. Just a little reminder that I needed, and maybe you needed this morning.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
What are you tempted to make too important too quickly in your heart. Your heart gets wrapped up in all kinds of things. Weighed down is how the scripture puts it. You can be weighed down by cares and anxieties and pleasures of this life and get distracted from the reality that the kingdom of God is near. That whether that is the return of our Lord or us being called home, either way, we can't get distracted such that that's not. Maybe top of mind sounds too extreme. I'm not saying you need to be thinking about it every moment of every day, but I'm also not saying that we don't need to be thinking about it every moment of every day.
There's a difference between thinking about it and not being able to do anything else. And then there's a way of living your life, but with that truth influencing yes. how you live your life.
Let me read this quote to you that from Matthew Henry. It says, "What our danger is that the day of death and judgment should come upon us unawares. When we do not expect it and are not prepared for it, lest when we are called to meet our Lord, that be found the furthest thing from our thoughts, which ought to always be laid nearest our hearts." Let me read that again, just that last part. When we are called to meet our Lord, that be found the furthest thing from our thoughts, which ought always be laid nearest our hearts. Is the thing your relationship with Christ, the kingdom of God, his return, us meeting him, that should be near to our hearts. But if it's far from our thoughts, that day will catch us unaware. And we don't want to be caught unaware, that that day would come upon us as a snare. For the rest of the world, that day is going to come upon them like a snare. But for those of us who are in Christ, we live in this reality of the kingdom of God being already and not yet. Is it that what they tell you in Bible school?
Yep. You're already there, yet you've still got some work to go. Two things being true at the same time.
And so going through some of your feedback this morning, that it is possible to be weighed down by all kinds of things. Health that came in by text message, ruminating over a breakup, a relational breakup, my spouse's choices and behavior. You can keep your feedback coming in. What is it for you that can weigh your heart down? Could be stress, could be pleasure, something that becomes too important too quickly. Share it with us. Text message 312-274-9624. Coming up here, I want to take you to a feature here on Moody Radio that our team put together. Our team spent some time in Israel, 5.5 days traveling over 1,000 miles, interviewing 30 plus people, 12 hours of interviews and conversations just to kind of help capture what's happening there. The stories of help, stories of hope, sometimes heart-wrenching, but really to give us, as the body of Christ, an understanding of what's going on there. So coming up, we're going to feature Inside Israel.
Whether it's number 1 or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
What was it really like when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th? And it feels like a lifetime ago, maybe, that you heard the news and, you know, is there still conflict there? What's going on? So quickly, things fade from our memory. Moody Radio, a team from Moody Radio, recently had the opportunity to go to Israel to interview and collect stories and kind of help us understand what's happening there, what happened, and what's currently happening. Our colleague, John Gager, returned with this report. Take a listen.
Kibbutz Be'eri in southern Israel is home to about 1,000 residents. Imagine clay tile roofs and quaint gardens. Be'eri is one of about 20 kibbutzim targeted by Hamas. It's also where Omri Kadem calls home. I'm John Gager, remembering how Omri welcomed us into his house, or what's left of it.
We are right now standing in what used to be your kitchen. But describe it for people who are only listening by radio.
Our kitchen is burnt. All this living room was burnt. We had sofas and rugs and pictures of the family. Nothing is left.
While their house was burned, Omri's family survived, in large part because of their safe room, which featured heavy cement walls and a reinforced metal door.
Here we go. Here's the door, yeah?
Yes. If you want to open the door, turn it down. But if you want to lock it, lift the handle upwards, this way. That's what we did.
But just how long were they in that safe room?
We were here, our son, 17 years old, Rimon, and my wife, Topaz, and me. We hid here from 6:30 a.m. in the morning to 10 p.m.
Omri recalls some harrowing moments.
This guy came and tried to open it, like this. And then he tried many times, like this. And then he brought a hammer or heavy thing and tried to break the door, and they failed. And then after he failed, he burned the house.
Walking on the black grit through the rubble of what used to be his home, Omri Kadem considers himself fortunate compared to his neighbors.
Our neighbors, the husband, went out to open the safe where all the weapons are held in the kibbutz. And then he disappeared. No one saw him since then. By 10 o'clock, the terrorist broke to the house and took his wife, and she was kidnapped to Gaza. And later they burned the house, and the daughter, 18 years old daughter, she jumped out through the window and was taken to Gaza too.
Many wonder how these kibbutzim communities were so easily overpowered. David Katz of Sarel Tours and Conferences explains.
The kibbutz has 12 people on their security, their local security group. Several of them were gone for the holiday weekend. Ilan was the first responder. He was going with his key to open the storeroom where the weapons were, but he never made it. He was murdered on the way. But when you think about that, there were 8 or 9 people here on this kibbutz before the soldiers came to defend the kibbutz, 8 or 9 people against literally hundreds of Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists who were well armed. I think that helps us to understand how they succeeded in destroying so much of the kibbutz and killing so many people. It was hours before the soldiers could even come in. And at that time, there were hundreds, literally hundreds of terrorists roaming through the kibbutz. So when the soldiers came in finally, the terrorists already had strong positions on the kibbutz, and the soldiers didn't know what they were coming into.
A walk through the streets of Biri is a walk through a war zone. Most homes are shot up, many are burned, and a shocking number feature a large vinyl banner with the name and photo of the resident who was murdered or kidnapped inside.
When this day started, the father on the left side was a part of the security team. He was killed, one of the first. His wife and 5 children hiding. On the right side, when the house was burning, they all threw out from the window of the safe room, and they were hiding in the bushes. You can see some of the bushes, but they were burnt, but they were thicker, the bushes. They were hiding there, one heap, from the smallest, 7 years old to 10 years old, 13, 16, the mother and the father, all one on top of the other. And then terrorists came and shot them. The parents and the 2 older sons were killed. The 2 on the bottom survived.
As you walk through all that rubble, you ask yourself, where is the box of tissues big enough to stem the fountain of tears these families have cried? Where is the dictionary capable of describing the evil done here? And how could the world look at this devastation and still turn against Israel? For Moody Radio, I'm John Gager, Inside Israel. Listen to our 1-hour special at moodyradio.org/specials.
We've made it even easier for you if you want to listen to that full-length feature. Just text the word special to 312-274-9624. Text special to 312-274-9624. Our thanks to John Gager. Great, great work on that.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's easy to get weighed down by the worries and cares of this life. You know, you hear that 5-minute special, just a little clip of the inside the war zone. And, you know, how do you live thinking about making sure that Israel doesn't disappear from your mind? Because you remember... Mm-hmm. I mean, the human mind is so funny. Like the news cycle is so interesting. Like things that are right in front of us.
Trending.
It's maybe you're praying for it because you're thinking about it. And then it quickly kind of gets replaced by something else. Yeah. The exception is when something hits you personally. When you get hit by a personal tragedy diagnosis or something that rocks your world, it's all you can think about. It's been my experience.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, your cup gets bumped.
Well, and then it's hard because sometimes you feel like when something happens to you personally and you can't forget about it, you feel like people are trying to move you on from it too quickly sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but our capacity to really care about things that don't directly affect us sometimes is limited.
It is.
If we're honest. And so maybe there was a time when you were praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and then maybe you moved on to other things. Mm-hmm. I get that. And so we're bringing you these little specials, and John Gager and our team has done such a great job with them. Five minute snippets we're going to play on radio for you over the next week or so. But the full length feature, I think, is really worth the listen to make sure that we've been talking about this morning, that we're concerned about the right things and that our hearts aren't weighed down by the wrong things. So if you want that, just text special to 312-274-9624.
Here to help with your spiritual spring cleaning, we're Carl and Crew Mornings.
We're going to get a little sunshine today.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Needed.
Yeah. Feel a little bit of the temperature warming.
65.
I will take it. No rain, correct?
Tomorrow. No, not today. Yes, correct. Not today.
Sufficient is today for its
own. That's right.
Worries for today.
She's like, today, Diana, today.
Just focus on one day at a time. You know, back in the day, I used to spend my summers. This was about 3 years in a row. I would spend my summers in the theater. Bit
really?
Of a shock there. It wasn't
you were
much.
You a theater kid?
I was a, I mean, that's generous. I was an extra in our community production of Annie.
It's a hard knock life.
Yeah.
Orphan number three.
I don't even remember what my role was.
Orphan number three. That's sweet.
She said extra.
I think I was one of the vagabonds.
What's a vagabond?
A bum.
A bum.
Basically.
Okay.
That's what they...
But they, vagabond, I guess. I don't know why they called them vagabonds, but in Annie, there were vagabonds. Yeah. So I was a vagabond in that one. I was in Peter Pan.
As who?
Oh, yes. What were you
in Peter? You know, and it's, I don't think it's even, I don't even know if this would be appropriate at the, like now, but I was cast as one of the, like as a Native American in this production.
Okay, yeah.
And now
Peter Pan? Okay.
Yeah, Peter Pan, the part of the original, you know, cartoon or animated movie. There were Native Americans on the island that the Lost Boys were living on.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
I'm sorry, because I
remember that was my role, and now I'm thinking,
you were like, I don't know why.
Why was that a part of it? But yeah, it was more of the, not the movie version, but more of like the Broadway play. And have you done any theater? Have you ever had one of these roles?
I did. In high school, I took an acting and directing class, and the last project that we had was to do a children's play for the, you know, any kids who would come. And so I was either Tweedledee or Tweedledum in Alice in Wonderland. They're twins. I can't remember. You know, we share the same lines. And then I was Peter Pan in Peter Pan.
Okay.
Oh. See, look at that.
He was the star. Super Die, I know you've done theater.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And choreography. So what was your favorite role to play in the theater?
Oh, wow.
So many to draw
from.
Come on.
Give us a good one.
I'm really sorry. I can't think of what my favorite.
Okay. Well, just give us one.
One of it. You just don't want to talk about it. She doesn't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's a little. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Anything that involved dance, though, would have been my favorite.
Diana, just so you
like
know.
Like Chorus Line or Chicago.
Just so you
or something
know.
With more dance.
Diana was really popular in theater and dancing. So she just doesn't want to talk about it right now.
Mic off, please.
No, I'm in control of the buttons.
You know, there's something I think theater is something everyone should try once. Like,
yes.
Even
at,
like your church Christmas play, like you get up and you read those lines.
Just once.
Like, just once. months being cast as something where you have to kind of pretend to be someone else and convince an audience?
Yes. You know what I was really mad about when I was in, I think it was third grade, we did a play for our church, a Christmas play for our church, and one of the characters, his name was Jonathan. And, well, I thought I had a right to that part because I'm Jonathan. And that's a, this is a 9-year-old's logic. I'm Jonathan, and that person gets, that's Jonathan. So I get to be that person, of course. That person was given to my brother, and so for the next like 2 months, that was lorded over me that he got to be Jonathan, and I was angry.
You're like, but I'm the real Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cool theater production coming up here at Moody Bible Institute that we want to feature coming up. Have you heard of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? We'll tell you how you can check it out this weekend.
Need a wake-up call? We can help with that. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Dramatic presentations can be powerful, like real powerful. And C.S. Lewis, ooh, what a thinker, guys.
Oh, absolutely.
What a writer.
Love
his
work.
Of the best creative theologians of our time.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Boy, have we got a treat for you and someone to talk about it. Bethany Paulson is in the house. How you doing, young lady?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great. You've got a dramatic presentation called Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and you're excited about this, aren't you?
Just a little bit.
Okay, tell us about it. What's going on?
Yeah, so we have a group of over 30 students who have come together to put on a show in Torrey Gray Auditorium at Moody. And it's the first time in over 25 years we've put a show on that stage.
Really?
Yeah. That's exciting.
Oh, that's thrilling. And there's lots of room in Torrey Gray.
So much room. We got to fill it up.
Yeah, let's fill it up for sure. What's surprising you as you prepared for Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe that you want our listeners to know?
I think this is a classic tale. A lot of people know it, but this certain adaptation is a little bit different. I think it puts a new spin on the story.
In what way?
It's told from the perspective of the Narnians instead of the kids. So when you come to this show, you get to step into Narnia and live in Narnia the whole time, which is so fun. And we're bringing kind of an aesthetic difference to it as well. We decided to go with kind of like a Renaissance fair theme in our production design. So the costuming is going to feel kind of like you're walking through a Ren fair.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis's epic novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's going to be a play right here in Torrey Gray. And Boom Crew, we want you to get here. Let me give you some show times here. 26th, 27th, and 28th. That's coming up here in just a few days. So 26th, 27th, and 28th. Friday the 26th, 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 27th, 3 p.m. And then Sunday the 28th at 3 p.m. These are awesome, and here's why. We've got parking for you. I mean, that's usually the biggest problem downtown, right?
Free parking in Chicago is the best.
We got free parking for you, and we'd love for you to show up. General admission, $15, correct?
Correct.
And then students are how much?
Just $10.
$10. Okay, and students are 17 years and under?
Correct.
Okay, this is going to be a great, great play. And you're looking to fill the house, aren't you?
I'd love that.
Wouldn't it be great? So, Boom Crew, we've got a keyword for you today. Text the word LION to our number, LION, to 312-274-9624. Text LION to 312-274-9624. All the show times, all the information. Get your tickets right there. C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Text LION to 312-274-9624. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.